Today we're thinking about Pentecost, which is something wonderful in itself and is also a taste of something that is yet to come. Recently I watched the movie Apollo 13, and many of you might have seen that movie. I find it interesting that despite the wonder of the technological feat of sending people to the moon, that by the fifth moon mission, people were generally pretty sort of blasé about what was going on. They had tuned out. And in America, none of the major TV networks even broadcast the live pictures of the astronauts in space. One thing that I was reading said that even Space Control asked them to cut it a little short because there was a baseball game on. Part of our human fickleness is that we're hard to impress. Things that once filled us with wonder can very soon become so familiar to us that the wonder fades. And so I ask this also then with regard to the Holy Spirit. Are we so familiar with the Holy Spirit that we cease to be in awe of Him? You see, the Bible reveals some truly amazing facts about God that are beyond our imagining. And as we delve into them, we find that we have a lot to celebrate and very much to rejoice in. But again, one of our problems is that as humans, we can be quite fickle, a bit ho-hum about things that once filled us with wonder. Sometimes getting a pair of socks for Christmas would be more exciting. And we're so used to the Holy Spirit, so good at containing eternal truths safely where we can confine them within the limits we set, that our initial wonder soon fades to a concealed yawn. And I'm like this. I begin to take eternal truth and Christian experience for granted. I live with it every day. So many of you live with it every day. And we can begin to take so much for granted. We get used to these amazing concepts and we forget how truly special they really are. We can do this with the Holy Spirit. And so Pentecost, of course, is a great time to remind ourselves of just how special the Holy Spirit is, how privileged we are as Christians to have received the Holy Spirit. The Bible truth is that God has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell with us, His people. God has sent His Spirit to empower us and to inspire us, to change us, to allow spiritual fruit to grow in us and spiritual gifts to be used by us. God is with us, and for this reason, we should be filled with joy and awe and wonder and celebration of what God has done for us. All these wonderful things. But what is our expectation? Can today be just another Sunday? See, God dwelling in us should set our hearts alight, should move us to praise and adoration of the God who would bless us in this way. Well, it has been said, and we repeat, the Holy Spirit is a good gift from God. It helps us when we listen again to Jesus and allow His teaching to touch us and to move us. When Jesus was teaching about prayer in the reading we had from Luke's Gospel, He mentions the Holy Spirit almost as a byline. But there is a hidden gem and a wonderful treasure. To help people understand prayer, Jesus used the example of parents giving good gifts to their children. And He reminded people, good parents don't harm their children, don't give them mischievous gifts that are going to hurt them. And if you think about it, when you have had a celebration, perhaps in your family, maybe a niece or a nephew, child or grandchild, and you want to get them something nice. You might have gone to the mall or somewhere, and you start looking through the toys. You don't just sort of walk down the aisle and grab the first thing that's there and think that'll do. You choose with care what you think they will enjoy. And then many of you, most of you, will read the warnings. Does this have something in it that may be hazardous to the child I'm going to give it to? Something that they might choke on, something that's a little bit sharp, something that they may use in a way that would bring harm. And so we look for those things. Parents don't play nasty tricks on their children. When children ask for bread or a fish, they don't give them harmful things like snakes or scorpions. And then Jesus rounds up this teaching about parents being able to give good gifts, and he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What is this good gift? It's the Holy Spirit given to us. So there's two key things there to remember. One is that Jesus says the Holy Spirit is a good gift. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is a good gift from God? A gift for you to desire, a gift for you to have, a gift for you to treasure. And secondly, we note, the gift is given to those who ask. So have you asked? Have you done that simple thing of asking God to give to you the Holy Spirit? Now, I know that for many of us, the Holy Spirit plays a central, important part in our lives. We recognize that we couldn't live a life of faith, we couldn't begin a life of faith, or succeed in a life of faith without him. We look to the Holy Spirit to shape our lives, to develop our Christian character, to give us that fruit and those gifts in our lives that are needed. And when you think about that, when you think about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit brings into our lives, this is totally wonderful. And we should be constantly amazed by it. So we know these things, and we're able to look back on the biblical account of these things. But try to imagine yourself for a moment as a disciple, one of Jesus' early disciples. And you have stood with Jesus and you've watched him ascended into heaven. And he said to you, wait, wait. And so without the Holy Spirit there, this would have been another day of waiting for the disciples. Jesus had commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So both the Father is promising and Jesus is speaking about this gift. And they were told to wait, and that's what they're doing. I suppose in their hearts and their minds, they would have much preferred Jesus to stay with them. They knew Jesus. They had heard his teaching. They had walked with him. He had been an encouragement to them, sometimes a real challenge to them. But they knew that something special was there in Jesus' presence. And undoubtedly, I think they would have wanted him to continue to be with them. But Jesus himself knew something wonderful was about to happen. And so prior to his death, he had said to them, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Now, they may not have thought so, but Jesus knew this. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so the Holy Spirit was for their good, and they were waiting. It's for our good. But they had to wait for this to happen. There's a real significant difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the people in the Old Testament and the people in the New Testament. It may not be immediately apparent to the casual reader, but the difference, once you experience it, once you know it, is striking. In the Old Testament, for the most part, God's people would go to meet God's presence in the temple or in the tent of meeting. God was not, in a sense, within them, but they had to go to meet with God. Now, there's a few notable exceptions. God's Spirit present on the prophets and some of the kings, but not with everyone. But in the New Testament, at Pentecost, God, through the Holy Spirit, came to indwell all his people. The first, the greatest, the most important outworking of Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension is that God comes to live with us because we have been reconciled with God through Christ. God is now able to come to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when at Jesus' death the curtain in the temple was torn, it was not simply a sign that we had access to God. It was showing that God was no longer in the temple, but that God was coming to us. This Holy Spirit came in response to the prophecy of Joel. So Jesus said, the Father has promised. And the promise was, when God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Every child of God, saved by faith through grace, has the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so in Acts we read, all of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit is given to each and every, all believers. And this is significantly different from the life of believers in Old Testament days. This means that you and I and everyone who puts their faith in Jesus has this privilege of the Holy Spirit coming to our hearts and to our lives. And if you can grasp that idea of God dwelling in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will dramatically change your life. Not just for a moment, but in every moment that you think about it and allow it to happen. Take a moment to reflect on the words of the Apostle Paul. Speaking of God, he says, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And again, in chapter 5, the same book, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit, again, as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And then to the people at Ephesus, he said, and you also were included. Perhaps he would say this to us, you also were included when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, again, who was a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So these three times Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance which is to come. In a sense, the Holy Spirit seals the deal, guarantees it. In biblical days, when a king put his seal on a document, it carried the weight and the authority of the office of the king. And so when God puts the Holy Spirit on our lives as his seal, it carries the weight, it carries the authority of God. There is something coming. There is something that has been promised, and we have the deposit. We have that initial seal. There is something coming that is wonderful that God wants us to know about. And if we look ahead into Revelation, then we see what is to come. Everything working towards this historic moment when we shall hear a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You see, what was lost in Genesis, where God had come and created this wonderful world and created people on it to be with him, what was lost there, that relationship that was shattered, the dwelling presence of God is lost, is to be fully restored in Revelation. And in the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit, the deposit that guarantees this, pointing us to this richer, fuller gift, God dwelling with us, making us his people, being our God. Now, the Holy Spirit is not only a deposit on something in the future that's a long way off, but also relevant to us in our day, in our lives at this moment. And so just to briefly remind you of a few things. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. The Holy Spirit is a gift that keeps on giving. This is a reflection of the generous nature of God, who gives us life, who gave his Son, who gave his life for us, who gives the Holy Spirit, who gives spiritual gifts, giving and giving and giving. This is the grace of our God, a good measure, pressed out, shaken together, running over, poured into our laps. This is how God gives to us the Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And it makes me wonder if we as Christians perhaps haven't quite got it right, giving each other gifts at Christmas. Perhaps today is the day of gifts. Today is the day to remember the giving God who gives so much. Wonderful and overflowing and abundance. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, indispensable. The church cannot function without them. Some of them are mentioned in Scripture, tongues, prophecy, evangelism, stewardship. These are only some of the gifts, not a complete list, a sampling of the major gifts. And the Apostle Paul says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. As a church, we follow the way of love. We desire to show God's love in so many ways. Are we also eager? Are we eager for the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy? So I ask you, are you eagerly desiring these gifts of the Spirit? What gifts, if you've been walking with Him for some time, what gift or gifts has the Spirit given to you? And how are you using that gift or gifts? The Holy Spirit is also a source of spiritual fruitfulness and Christian character. But the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This comes as a package. You don't just get the love without the joy. You don't get the goodness without the faithfulness. How many more want some more self-control? That one would come in particularly handy sometimes. But these are the gifts that God gives to us. There's an expectation in the Bible that we as Christians will grow in these and develop our faith in these, that they will impact our character, will become more Christ-like. I think if you look at this fruit and look at your life, as I look at my life, I know that there's room for improvement. There's room for more of this to grow within me as the Holy Spirit does his wonderful work. Which of these areas of character are you growing in today? Which characteristics are bearing fruit in your life? Or maybe, where have you closed the door? I like the love, but I don't want the other bits. What's happening in your life with those things? Well, this morning I've asked you to consider a number of questions. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is a good gift given by God? Is this gift a gift you desire, a gift that you treasure? Since the Holy Spirit is given to those who ask, have you asked? Have you asked God for the Holy Spirit? What gift or gifts has the Holy Spirit given to you? Have you been using the gifts or neglecting them? Where are you growing in character as the Spirit works in your life? Where is that fruit being shown? You see, if we let the Holy Spirit come to us, work freely in us, He will transform, equip, and empower us for Christian living, Christian service. This is great. It's a wonderful privilege to have the Spirit of God in our lives, to give Him the freedom to move in our lives, welcoming Him into our hearts, inviting Him to bring His gifts. We need this to function as a church. We need this to live individually as Christians and together as Christians. The Holy Spirit will lead us into truth. Truth about God, truth about ourselves, truth about the world. Won't always be easy truth, but the Holy Spirit will help us. And as we embrace the Spirit of God, as we listen to Him, as we allow Him to bring change in our lives, we will become the people, the church that God wants us to be. So I encourage you. You may have done this before, but again, surrender your heart to Him. Surrender your life afresh to the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to lead, to guide, so that He may take you into all that God is setting before you, as individuals and us together as a church. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to come now to the table of our Lord.